limit those people who have no economic or physical association with the area that's proposed to be mined. So farmers will obviously maintain their ability to object to any developments, but those people who live 600, 800, 1,000, 1,500 kilometres away, who are only interested in stopping the development of the economy and the provision of jobs, will be prevented from having standing in court.
That said, though, sometimes farmers 700, 800 kilometres away could actually be affected, so if we're talking groundwater at least.
Well, if they are affected, there'll be no issue. The reality is that anyone who can show a direct link to an impact from any proposal will have standing in the court. That's the case under common law.
But what about, say, their national lobby group, the National Farmers Federation? Would they be one of those who would no longer be allowed to object if these changes were to pass Parliament?
Well, it depends entirely on the circumstances. Nothing preventing the farmer from establishing his or her standing in a court of law. I have absolutely no concern in regard to the ability of farmers to voice their objections. The reality, though, is that what we've seen with this provision within the Act is that it is being abused to the point of being used as a weapon against economic development. And my knowledge of farmers, and I've spent more time farming than I have been in politics, is that farmers in the end have been coexisting with mining in our country for almost 200 years. That tells me that if there's a practical solution and if the issues that the farmer is concerned about are dealt with, then it will reach a conclusion. But that is not the attitude of environmentalists. They want to use this as a way to stop all development at any price to ensure that no coal is exported out of Australia. This is an ideology and a political campaign. It's not about protecting the environment or protecting the land.
By doing so, won't you then also be opening up another legal can of worms?
Well, I mean, every time someone goes to court, they have to establish that they have standing. That's common law. That's the normal practice. That's the way the legal operation of the courts operates. So this is nothing new. This just brings everything back into line with what you and I would have to do if we wanted to appeal in a court of law anywhere in Australia on anything other than the EPBC Act.
Mr. McFarlane, is there really a precedent that justifies changing the EPBC Act?
Well, there is a precedent, and we have a document that is well detailed in terms of the environmental lobby's strategy to stop all development in Australia, particularly stop all coal exports out of Australia. It's there in black and white. I tabled it in the chamber yesterday. It is well-funded, well-resourced, and it is about stopping an industry which literally employs tens of thousands of people from expanding and ultimately operating at all.
But how many projects have been delayed due to court action or a court challenge due to approval under the EPBC Act?
Well, this is the first, but the number is not relevant. What we've heard loud and clear from the environmental movement is this is the first of many, and that they will move to stop every development from now on. As I say, they've got it in writing. They've got great resources. They're using a model that's been used successfully in America, and they're using funding that's also coming from America.
In the case that you're referring to, the federal court decision relating to the Adani Carmichael project in central Queensland, all parties agreed to it that the Federal Environment Department didn't pass on information that had to be assessed under the EPBC Act but wasn't assessed by Greg Hunt at the time.
Well,
isn't that just proving that the Act as it is in its current form does work to make sure that the process is duly followed?
Well, there was a technical problem with the information that was being supplied to the court, and on that basis Greg Hunt withdrew the application. But let's be absolutely clear here. That issue was not being raised by farmers adjacent to the mine. It wasn't being raised by people who were concerned about issues of the environment that had a direct interest in that. It was being raised by a group who was 600 kilometres away and had made it clear in their public statements that this was just the beginning of their campaign to stop coal mining in Australia. So they're the ones laying down the gauntlet. They're the ones saying that there will be no more coal exported out of Australia. The economic impact of that on Australia in terms of rural communities, regional communities, and the community as a whole will be enormous. And tens of thousands of jobs will be at peril. Now, the government can simply not sit back and let a group of people who are unrepresentative of the entire Australian population try and take control of our economic development.